Good morning. Who is excited to be in the house of God this Sunday morning? Amen. We have some announcements that we want to make before service begins. That we have a table out in the foyer for Asher and Juliana that are getting married this month. Coming up quick, and there is a table set up in the foyer for gifts for them. Instead of a shower, that there is going to be gifts that you can give. You can donate to them anything you would like for them to have. Anything that whenever you were just getting married all of those years ago, what you would have wanted to receive, give it to them on that table there. They will be happy to receive that. We also have our Don't Stop Praying sign campaign. And the sign up is in the foyer, or there is a QR code for you to scan if you would like to have a sign. So if you want one of those signs to put out in your yard or maybe in somebody's yard that just needs to read it, you know those people. Get yourself a sign and put them out, and it will be great. And we also have, today is the last day to sign up and to pay for the Ladies United Fellowship. That is, might be more info on there. I can't read the font. Tuesday night at 6:30 at Taco Delight is going to be, and the Chocolate Kettle is going, is this it? Yeah. Okay, good. Well, I cannot read that font for some reason. Here we are. Today is the last day to sign up. And all right, you all, we got that part down? Yeah. All right, ladies, who's wanting to go? Yeah. Sign up today, all right? And so also today is the last day to pay on Push Pay if you want for the Christmas party, our church Christmas party that is going to be on the 15th, all right? The 15th is our church Christmas party, but today is the last day to sign up. You can pay on Push Pay if you would like. It is very convenient. Also, contact Sister Lisa Calicote and put in your food request today. If you're planning to go, now is the acceptable time to register, okay? So make sure you are signed up for that. And also on the 22nd is Christmas Sunday. On the 29th is Mission Pledge is going to be due. And then we are going to have our Outreach Alliance. Sister Dot Lipscomb is going to be coming to make an announcement. I think Brother Darren as well. Look at them come over. Give them a hand.
Good morning, good morning. Isn't it pretty cool to have a church that's got a lot of things going on?
Yes.
A lot of committees, a lot of organizations that are getting people involved. And that's what we're here for, is we have the Outreach Alliance Committee, which is a servant-based group that's putting together campaigns to give back to our local body, not just the church, but reaching outside these walls to touch this city. And we've done some different things this last few months. We did the trunk or treat back in October. We did a bake sale. We've done giving at farmers market to the local community with gloves, socks, and some things like blankets, things like that. And right now we're doing an angel tree at this season, and Sister Dot is going to share some stuff on that.
Okay, this morning we've had several people to sign up. We have a boy age 8 and a girl age 5, and there's still about 10 items that are needed. So if you could, after church, these two lists will be out on the table in the foyer. If you would come and sign up to bring an item, and you'll bring it next Sunday, and we will get those where they need to be for these two children that we are giving to this year.
We will also have the table set up, so if you feel like you would like to volunteer and be a part of that group to help give back, we will be there and give you some information on that and share that with you as well.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm so glad to be a part of the local assembly, have these brothers and sisters see the faith and the live church, and it is alive. I'm so excited about the worship this morning. Appreciate the decorating committee. Aren't the trees and things just beautiful in the church? Boy, I feel festive this morning. I want to say a special welcome to anyone that is visiting with us this morning, especially to my wife's niece, Beverly, from the suburbs of Detroit. We're glad to have her with us for the first time in our marriage of 45 years. She's come to see us, and we're so excited to have her. need to make a, or not need to, want to make an announcement from the pastoral transition team. The pastoral transition team has met biweekly since the 1st of October to process applications, recommendations, and resumes from pastoral candidates applying for the position of pastor. We have released an official announcement to Brother Flyers, our North Texas District Superintendent, and the UPCI of our pastoral opening. We will continue accepting applications and recommendations until the end of this month. We have reviewed a number of applicants and are in the process of interviewing and setting dates for them to preach in the local assembly for the church body's consideration. This leadership group has been prayerful, united, committed in the endeavor to seek out God's will and is dedicated to allowing His will to be done for the future of our congregation and for the pastorate. The team's desire is to bring ministers and their families that will best help continue the pastoral leadership that we have been blessed with for the past 41 years under the ministry of Brother and Sister Meyer. Thank you to all of those who have attended the prayer meetings this past Saturday morning and Saturday evening, to the Tuesday morning ladies' prayer meetings, for those that are praying and believing and seeking and fasting for the pastorate position that we will seek and do God's will. I want to say a special thank you to those of you that are doing a daily fasting and praying for God's will to be done. Thank you for your prayers, your confidence and support you have afforded us as your pastoral transition team. I encourage us all to continue to pray for Pastor and Sister Meyer as they undertake the next chapter of their ministry. May we therefore challenge one another to be focused on prayer and fasting during this time. The team consists of the following members: Micah Morton, Jim Lester, Jaron Jackson, Lynn English, Scott Price, Darren Hamner, Royce Dickey, Matthew Bright, and James Martinez. And I want to say to you, if you have any recommendations or anything that you would like to discuss with that team concerning the pastorate, please feel free to contact one of these men. God bless you. I love you. And I'm excited about the worship this morning. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise?
Aren't you thankful for breath in your lungs this morning? Hallelujah.
But every day, yeah. Not as bad. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say every day.
Let everything.
Not as bad.
Not as bad.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Let everything.
Not as bad.
Not as bad.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let everything.
Let everything.
That has breath.
That has breath.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'll praise in the valley. Praise on mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure. And praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when I'm numbered. Praise when surrounded.
Keep it inside. spell as I sing out your name. Oh, victory dance, I will dance out in vain. I will crush this opponent and break every chain.
All of my fear,
I will turn into praise. To shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance,
I will dance out in vain.
I will crush this opponent and break every chain.
All
of my fear,
I will turn into praise.
To shake off despair.
Yeah.
the stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows.
The higher the need, the higher I reach, the greater the cost, the more I believe. Oh, stronger the pain,
the stronger my faith grows.
The higher the need, the higher I reach, the greater the cost, the more I believe. The longer the way, the longer.
I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus.
I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm
Together in the evident power of the Holy Ghost that is here this morning, and believe that God is going to move on every single need on this list, but move on every single need that you have walked in here facing, battling, or having, or being aware of. Our God is too good for His people to walk through life and not experience victory. I didn't say walk through life and not experience trouble.
Right.
But I know that if you show up to win a game, you have to have another team show up. You can't win if there's not opposition. You cannot have victory if there is not trouble. And so if Scripture says that life is short and full of trouble, and then Scripture also says, consider it joy when temptations and troubles come against you. That lets me know that life is short and full of victory.
Yes, amen.
That life is short and it is full of opportunities to overcome. Life is short and full of opportunities to say, this is coming up against me, but I've got a power that lives inside of me that is greater than anything that could come up against me, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And all I have to do is look the enemy in the face and say, in Jesus' name, move in my situation. And watch it begin to break. Watch it begin to change, because the power of the Holy Ghost is too great to allow those things to continue to battle against you. In Jesus' name. So we're going to pray for Ronnie Gidros, Wanda Armstrong, Katie Bean, Josh Smith, Jane Lay, Chad McQueen, Geraldine Osmus, Kenny Ham, Cinda Pinson, Cynthia Brown, Sue Smith, Dickie Ewing, and the Griffith family, and any need in here today. If you feel led, if you feel encouraged that I need something more, I need to do something different today, I encourage you to step out in faith, to come to these altars, and ministers will anoint you with oil and pray with you and for you. And I believe that there is going to be a healing that takes place. I believe that God's Spirit is going to move on somebody this morning, and it might as well be you. God's going to heal a situation today. It might as well be yours. And so I'm surrendering it today. God, I surrender it all to you. My heart, my hurts and my struggles this morning. And God, I pray that you touch every single need in this place. Minister to us in a way that only you can. In Jesus' name, amen.
You'll never leave me. You said that you won't forsake me. You're right beside me, and that is all that matters. You'll never leave me. You said that you won't forsake me. You're right beside me, and that is all that matters. You are the covenant keeping God.
You'll never leave me.
the ushers could come. You may be seated. We're going to take our tithes and our offering. And what a beautiful presence of the Lord is in this house this morning. The great thing about having access to something like this is you have the choice. What do I want to get out of it? That I can leave here. And if I want to leave here the same way that I walked in, I can. If I want to leave here completely changed, if I want to make sure that I pour everything I have into this service and leave here completely changed, I can. And so we have the choice this morning, as we have one more song, as we have the opportunity to give. How do I want to leave this service? I want to leave changed. I want to leave strengthened. And I want everybody that has the choice, everybody that has the want to today, to be able to leave changed as well. So I have one more song to give everything I've got. I've got another message for me to hear this morning that I can invest everything into, and I can preach with the preacher, and I can give everything into this service. And I believe that God is going to move. So we're going to pour out, and I know that I cannot outgive God. And I believe there's going to be a blessing that pours out in this house this morning. So Father, I pray that you continue to anoint the rest of this service, that you bless what is given, that you bless the giver. Your word has already been anointed, so God, I pray that you anoint the man of God this morning as he delivers your word and allow us to respond to it. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm shaking, yeah.
God bless you as you're seated. I ask you today, what are you really looking for the rest of your life? There's only one true light. His name is Jesus. He left a nice trail. Scriptures reveal the path. And then he left an empty grave to help us understand without a question. It's impossible without faith to find that trail, to observe it, and walk it. And so we walk according to the Word of God and have inspiration by the Spirit of God. And then he's called the light. And so we walk in the light of all of this. Today we have with us a speaker that is a man that I have a tremendous amount of confidence. His studies, his ability to share truths means so very much to me, and as far as I'm concerned, to our whole world. And so, Brother Charles Chargua, we want you to come and just minister from your heart. And would you like to stand as he comes today and make him welcome from Longview, Texas?
Offer up that hand clap of praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on, let everything that hath breath, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Somebody in this house make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Somebody shout praise the Lord in this house today. It's such a tremendous honor to be here today. And I'm going to be reading from the 14th chapter of the book of Luke, the 28th verse. Let me say what a tremendous honor it is to stand before you again to see some wonderful and familiar faces. Brother Will Hoyt, it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. We go all the way back to Austin, Texas. Man, back in the days when Brother Johnson would just throw me out in that pulpit on a Wednesday night, I used to tell people he'd put me on the horse with no instruction on how to get off of it. But it's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And to your pastor and your pastor's wife, I give them high honor today. They are wonderful Christian people of the highest caliber, integrity, and character. They love God, and they love people. Now, there are people that love God, but they don't love people. They love themselves. We call them Pharisees. And I'm reminded today, and would caution you, if I could be so bold, that sin originated in the Garden of Eden. Sin began in a spiritual setting, among spiritual beings having a spiritual conversation. And this church, and this city, and this community has been blessed by individuals, pastor and his wife, who've known how to have spiritual conversations in a spiritual setting among spiritual beings that bring glory to God and salvation to souls. And for that, I would ask this congregation to give them a tremendous hand of appreciation today. Brother and Sister Meyer, we love you so very much. Oftentimes, when you're visiting somewhere, you kind of have a goal for yourself. You, as a visiting minister, you kind of have something in mind that you would like to accomplish. My goal today is not to preach the best sermon you've ever heard. Your pastor's already done that. So I would like to just not preach the worst message you've ever heard. Luke, the 14th chapter and the 28th, the 14th chapter of Luke, the 28th verse. And if you have it, would you say amen? For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Would you please lift your hands toward heaven and ask God to anoint your ears to hear, your hearts to receive, your souls and your spirits to respond? God, we ask today that you would increase not just our knowledge, but our understanding. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you're going to do. It's in the name of Jesus Christ that we come before you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our souls and our spirits to respond. Bless us, not just with knowledge, but with understanding. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. And could everybody say amen? And just before you're seated, would you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord today? And you may be seated. I could not get away from an illustration that my former pastor of many, many years had shared some time ago. He mentioned seeing an advertisement that promoted a performance by the Spring Hill Symphony. It was an odd performance. It was a unique performance. It simply promoted what they called the unfinished masterpieces. The symphony would play works by Mahler, Mozart, Bach, and Schubert that had been composed but never completed, started and never finished. Each was still deemed in its own right a masterpiece because of the people that composed them, but they were incomplete and unfinished nevertheless. Each was a masterpiece in the making when, for some reason, the composer simply stopped. Imagine for a moment hearing a symphony play, the rich, full sounds filling the concert hall, then almost as abruptly as it began, it ends. It winds down to an unresolved conclusion, stops abruptly without any warning, without climax, crescendo, or completion. Let music begin, and our hearts cry out for it to complete and to finish. Something wells up within each and every one of us that wants to hear the music played until it finishes. But a masterpiece which isn't finished doesn't seem like much of a masterpiece at all. However, it's a problem. It's common to and found in all vocations, callings, professions. Simply, we just don't finish what we start. One individual architect left two buildings unfinished in Barcelona, Spain. Michelangelo is credited with creating 44 statues in his life. However, he only finished 14. There's a museum in Italy that's dedicated to the unfinished works of Michelangelo, large chunks of marble that just possess a hand or a leg or a torso. Samuel Coleridge began Kubla Khan. He never finished it. There were works by Dickens that were started, never completed. Christian writers have also left great works unfinished. It's said that Thomas Aquinas, perhaps the brightest mind of the so-called Dark Ages, was so intelligent he could dictate two works to two different scribes simultaneously. But at the close of his life, when he wished to write a summation of all that he had ever learned, he finished only three volumes, only to leave the rest of the work unfinished. Perhaps you've driven past a house that was started, the foundation laid, the bricks laid, the roof put on, but the windows left hollowed out. The lot was purchased, plans were drawn, permits pulled, foundations poured, walls erected, but the construction stopped for whatever reason. You could almost hear the passersby say, "Wow, they started. They just never finished." I would like to speak into your hearing for just a few moments about the understanding of unfinished masterpieces. Because whatever the situation, we don't care for the unfinished song, the partially told tale, or the incomplete life. We might be curious as to what stops us from finishing what we start. But deep down, we all fear that our lives will end like that, that we will leave something undone, something unfinished. Because God has placed so much of Himself in our nature, we ourselves are compelled to finish what we start. I'm not talking today about the occasional mishap or the misstep or the mistake. I'm talking about the lack of completion, the idea that deep down inside of every one of us, there was potential that was never fully developed. We failed, not in terms of some sin we've committed, but we failed to indeed rise to and complete the God-given potential that lay inside each and every one of us. Perhaps you've heard or even seen someone that lingered on their deathbed until he or she heard the voice of or saw the face of someone that was yet to see them. A few words were spoken to this seeming unhearing figure lying prone on the bed, and within moments, they simply slipped away into eternity. They slipped from this life into the great beyond. Why? Why did they linger? Why do we linger? Perhaps it's because of unfinished business, the longing to resolve some unresolved issue. Isn't this one of the things that we love most about God? Not just that we grow up in church, but that we can actually grow up in God. Not just that we grow up in the sanctuary and we get older, but actually we come to a place of maturity and fulfillment where we can actually bear fruit that is a blessing to the lives of those around us. It's one of the things that we love most about God and treasure most about Jesus. It's the hope of finishing. Philippians would say it this way: "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." When Jesus Christ spoke, he captured and garnered the attention of every person within the sound of his voice. He fed and continues to feed our fondest hopes. He yet ministered to our deepest fears. One of those fears is that our lives will fall short of the goal that He has set for each and every one of us. However, we desire to see our lives complete, whole, finished, fulfilled. We long to see what we could be, and we fear deep down not becoming it. A favorite character in the scripture is Zerubbabel, meaning born in Babylon. It was under the leadership of Cyrus this man gained permission to return to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. He laid the foundation, but then a 17-year delay followed. People mocked him, said it'll never happen. But God moved upon the prophet Zechariah to encourage Zerubbabel. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. Let's be honest in this house today. We start and we stop. We, like sheep, go astray. We begin and we get distracted. Thank you, Mr. Zuckerberg. We get something moving and we lose interest. Thank you, Mr. TikTok. Things don't go our way. We lose momentum. We pout. We blame. We get discouraged. We dig a well like Isaac. It's contentious, so we abandon it. We find an open door, but we see many adversaries, and so therefore we don't go through it. But this is not so with God. The God upon whom we call His name today, He starts and He finishes. He is both the author and the finisher of our faith today. He started a world, and 6 days later, He finished it. He rested from His labors because He finished it. God's will is to finish in your life what He has begun. No matter the delay, no matter how long, no matter how great the inconvenience. How does God finish? It's by His Spirit that God finishes what He starts. Allow me to also point out that one preacher said that going into an artist's studio and finding many unfinished portraits, unfinished either because the author lacked the skill or sickness or distraction, tragedy or death, he didn't finish. But as you and I go into God's workshop, we find nothing that bears the mark of haste or insufficiency of power to finish, or that God grows disinterested in you and I, or frustrated with you and I, to the point that He gives up on you and I. Oh, Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house and watch as he begins to work out something on the wheel. Look at the potter as he begins to work this wonderful vessel of clay. And Jeremiah notices, but the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Would you say it with me? The clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so the potter began to make it again, another vessel it seemed good to him to make. The potter, like our God, doesn't get frustrated with clay and throw it to the side. He doesn't say, I'm sick of working with clay. I think I'll take up blowing glass or carving wood. Our God is committed to bringing you to the completion and to the fulfillment of what He has already seen and that He has already prophesied. And if your commitment to God ever matches God's commitment to you, you will see blessings unfold and you will see miracles miracles, signs, and wonders like you have never seen. And if you would stand and give him an ovation of praise as a sign or an indication of your commitment to God, you know he is committed, because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins and our salvation. He wouldn't have started a work in you if he didn't intend to see the work complete. He wouldn't have began a work in you if he didn't intend to see it fulfilled. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord today. Completed, finished, restored, perfected. The adjectives used to describe God's intentions in our perfect and imperfect lives. In John's apocalyptic vision, he saw into another world so different than our own. He saw a city filled with gates of pearl, streets of gold, walls of jasper, trees, river, crystal sea. Everything John saw was not just beautiful, it was complete. It was finished. Heaven and its occupants formed the culmination of God's work inside you and I. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. One writer has pointed out that in Mark's gospel, the last words of Christ were of being forsaken, but in John's, it is finished. The Lord went as far as he could go at Calvary to help us see our need for him. Our need for him. Our lives are completed. Somebody hear me today in the Holy Ghost. Not because we have access to God. Our lives are completed because we grant God access to us. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. To receive the gift of the Holy Ghost does not mean you and I take God into our own hands. It means that we surrender our souls and our wills and our hearts and our minds into the hands of that potter who can work a work inside of our lives. It's time that the modern day church wake up. Jesus Christ is not a bellhop. God is about sick and tired of people who want the church to be a Coast Guard vessel when they're drowning in sin, and suddenly demand that it be a cruise ship when they get on board. Honey, Jesus Christ is not a bellhop. He's not here to give you a pastor who is a cushion that you can modify to make your life more comfortable. I need somebody full of the Holy Ghost to get on your feet and give the Lord an ovation of praise. I don't come to church to change the church. I come to church for God to change me. If you got the courage to get on your feet, not just the stamina or the will or the wherewithal, if you've got the courage and the backbone or the gumption or the conviction to give the Lord an ovation of praise today. God both starts and he finishes regardless of our fears and regardless of our failures. He starts and he finishes. He's the author and the finisher. Having lost both parents to alcoholism, having failed out of college 3 times, having suffered the humiliation of being a failure in a family full of academic successes, I end up taking a job at Piccadilly Cafeteria. Be that penance or purgatory. I worked there 5 years like I was serving time for a crime I did not commit. I'm convinced to this day that had you shaved the back of my boss's head, it had said 665. That little brother was a digit shy of the devil himself. Some of y'all might work for him. But a young man transferred there from Brother Merle Ewing's church in Lake Charles. He and I became friends. He invited me to church. I was raised Catholic. went to Catholic schools, and the only mass available was in Spanish. I spoke to the priest about it in Baton Rouge, and he said, I'd rather you go somewhere than not at all. And what they preach there about the infilling of the Holy Ghost is a legitimate Book of Acts experience. So I attended with him, and on September the 17th of 1989, God filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I learned something in retrospect. What God finishes, God starts. And I began to realize, my wife and I met in September. We were engaged in February, married in June. I went back to school taking one class at Kilgore College, working 70 hours a week. I made an A in that class. The A wasn't what's important. What was important is that I had near perfect recall. I had a photographic memory. The first question I came to that I didn't know the answer to, I shuddered with fear because all the emotion of past failures came welling up inside of me, and I began to feel like, here we go again. You're going to fail out again. And I closed my eyes, and the book opened, and the pages fluttered, and God led my eyes from the right page to the left and from the left column to the right, three paragraphs down, third sentence, and I began to read the answer, and I began to realize that God had given me a photographic memory, because what God begins, God starts. And we are His handiwork. And when we become somebody we've never been before, He gives us the power to do things we've never done before. And maybe you keep praying for God to do something in your life, and God's waiting on you to become somebody you've never been before, so that you, like Zerubbabel, can cry grace to your mountain and watch it become a plain. Because when you become somebody you've never been before, He empowers you to do things you've never done before. And you will look at the rocky, insurmountable terrain of your life, and you'll cry, grace, grace. I wish I could get somebody on your feet to take the man of God and the word of God is a true word today, and watch it become a fertile plain out of which God will bring a harvest in your life. Oh, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this. I don't know about you. I don't just feel the presence. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this house today. Forgive me if I get a little loud, but something is going to be finished and complete in your life. You will get to the end of your life and find something's finished. It'll either be the work of God in your life, or it'll be what's written in James. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, say that with me, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Either sin or salvation will be finished by the time you breathe your last breath. I don't know about you, but it's for me and my house. I said, I don't know about you, but it's for me and my house. I'm going to live to serve the Lord my God. I don't know about you, but when God said, make your calling and election sure and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, every time we walk into the house of God, it shouldn't be to scrutinize this and examine that. It ought to be to clap our hands and make a joyful noise and make our calling and our election sure. Somebody help me right now. Jesus would later say, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And when he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. But Paul is an interesting character. He says, for now I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Paul is an interesting figure in the sense that he would later tell you, or earlier, the many, many things that he suffered, that he endured, and that he survived. He would later write about the stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. At night and the day had been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils by false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings and cold and nakedness. And by the way, beside these things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. At moments like these, in messages like these, it's easy for ministers to explain to congregations what God will do, and often to tell them what they need to do without telling them how to do it. And so today, I want to endeavor to give you some insight, one of which is God can do anything, but he ain't going to do everything. I want you to say that with me. God can do anything. He ain't going to do everything. Can somebody hit me with a good old-fashioned East Texas ain't? God ain't going to do everything. You know, I love that song, Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus. It might not be grammatically correct, but honey, it's been accurate in my life. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. God can do anything. Somebody help me with it. He ain't going to do everything. Why don't you tell your neighbor, he ain't going to do everything. He can part the Red Sea, but he's trusting you and I to walk over on the other side. Hallelujah. He can give you baptismal waters where your sin can be washed away, but he's trusting somebody to get up from where you are and get in the water today. He can roll back the stone for Lazarus, but honey, Lazarus got to walk out of that grave. I don't care how mummified you walked in here. You can walk out of here deified, and if you believe it or you've experienced, it's all right to shout amen on a Sunday morning. Become somebody you've never been before. God empowers you to do things you've never done before. And I did go and finish at Kilgore and finished a double major at St. Ed's, and I finished a master's degree and actually was finishing a PhD at Texas A&M. When God called me to preach, I should have known it was too good to be true. You see, when you're teaching at a university and people don't do right, you fail them and keep the tuition. Let that sink in a moment. But Moses, I'm sorry, but Paul tells us something so very powerful and profound. He says, man, I finished my course, but boy, I suffered all kinds of things. You have no idea the things that I suffered in order to be completed. And when we've come out of the fiery furnace, we're going to be as pure gold. But tell your neighbor, he's still working on you. He's still working on me. Would you tell somebody he's working on me? Man, that's why we got to be careful with each other, and we got to be sensitive to one another. God is not pleased if we're sensitive to him and insensitive to other people. I'm a work in progress. You're a work in progress, and we don't know what we're going to be like, but God's working on us. And if you really want to get to the point of being finished and completed, you could clap your hands one more time, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus and to the glory of Almighty God. The Bible says that something happened in between all of the problems and all of the pain that Paul went through and him being ready to be offered. He may have finished. The Bible says that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Allow me to point out the scripture that says, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee. At midnight. One of the most perilous times in a Christian's life, at midnight. The darkest time of the midnight hour. Midnight is a place where the sun has set on your yesterday, but it is yet to rise on your tomorrow. The midnight hour is a place where you can look back at everything that you have not completed and all that is left undone. But you face the uncertainty of tomorrow without the light of day. You don't know that you're going to be able to complete it. It's that old contractor's quote, I feel like I'm 90% done and I got 90% left to do. I've come to tell somebody that's at the midnight hour when it's dark and you're tired and you're weary and you don't feel like praising him. I've come to tell somebody, you need to declare unto yourself at the midnight hour, I will arise. At midnight, I'm going to get on my feet. Preacher, I can't see anything, but I'm going to stand and see the salvation of the Lord. Be still and know that he is God. I wish I could get somebody to get to your feet today and say, hold on just a moment. I will arise. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. For when I fall, when you trip me, when it turns midnight, I will arise. I'm not asking you to run the Boston Marathon. I'm just saying, can you get on your feet on a Sunday morning? I'm not asking you to dance and shout in the Holy Ghost. But can you get on your feet? Every person that we admire, the Word of God has found themselves at a midnight hour when they themselves have had to rise to whatever the occasion and go through a place of standing in the dark. One of the problems with the modern day church is that we tend to see ourselves among ourselves instead of contextualizing ourselves into the company that we've truly been grafted in. I don't know. I don't see anybody else rising. Why should I arise? I don't see anybody else singing at midnight. Well, Samson waited till midnight to take the gates of the Gazites at midnight, to show his enemy, you can't hold me. He that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. And don't waste a midnight, because midnight's a time that you can start showing your faith in God like never before. We don't really have faith until we don't understand something. I wish I had somebody help me preach right now. We don't really have faith until it's dark and we can't see our way. We don't really have faith till I don't have a clue how I'm gonna make it out of here. I don't know what's gonna happen next. I don't know how this is gonna happen. But I will tell you this, the devil don't just give you an opportunity to quit living for God. He'll give you some good reasons to quit living for God. The accuser of the brethren has been building a case against God since the Garden of Eden. And at midnight, when we began to sing praises, at midnight, when we begin to lift our voices, it silences the voice of the accuser of the brethren, and it makes that devil run tail tucked between his legs back to that chronic place of hell he crawled out of. No wonder we say, never will the rocks cry out in my place. I want somebody to hear this preacher. It might be dark where you are. Well, honey, it was dark where I was. When I buried mama, it was dark. And when I buried daddy, it was a dark. But can I declare to somebody, we who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And if you've seen the light, come on somebody, ain't nobody got a right like the children of the light to praise the Lord. We see Moses in Deuteronomy praying the only prayer Moses ever prayed for himself. And it's a sad prayer. It's a prayer to let me take him over Jordan, God. You can give Joshua something else. It's a sad little prayer, really. He begins to ask God, saying, Lord, you begin to show thy servant thy greatness, thy mighty hand. What God is there in heaven or in the earth that can do according to thy works? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, the goodly mountain in Lebanon. The Bible says that he catches a glimpse of where he's going and he wants to go. Bible said, the Lord said, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up to the mountain. Look east and west and north and south. Behold thy eyes, for you ain't going. But I've come to tell somebody, it's as though the last time we see Moses, he's dejected, he's denied. And he's simply waiting to die. Oh, but God is the author and the finisher. Because in our eyes, we think, poor old Moses, the one prayer he prayed, elder, he gets told no. The one thing he asked for himself, God slammed the door. But we serve a God who's the author and the finisher. And the next time you see Moses, my God, I could preach the last time or the next time. Because the last time we see him, he's dejected, he is despondent, and he is on his own, waiting to die. But the next time you see him, honey, he's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And God might have said, Moses, you ain't crossing Jordan because you're going to cross a whole nother dispensation. And just because he hadn't told you what it is doesn't mean he doesn't have a plan for you and for your life. It's time for somebody to get up and to get out and to get growing. It's time to get out of the mully grubs and say, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. It might be the midnight hour, but honey, it's the day the Lord hath made. We think he's so alone and dejected. God is the author and the finisher. It ain't over till it's over. Bible says that he is next seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah was so despondent. Well, y'all about to make me feel at home. You know, sometimes when I go out to preach, my wife tells me to behave myself. And I try to do that until I start feeling like I'm about to be myself. Sometimes I can either be myself or I can behave myself, but I can't be both. Elijah is praying to die. Take me out of here. I want to go. Well, the last time you see him, he's wanting to die. Praying to God to die. Honey, that's a prayer that wasn't answered then. It still hadn't been answered because he ends up translated. You know where he ends up? On the Mount of Transfiguration. He's there with Moses. He's there with Jesus. I want you to know your life ain't over. Honey, it's just getting started good. Can somebody say amen to that? Your life ain't over. It's just getting started good. I had nothing to live for. Both parents died alcoholic. I failed out of the university 3 times. The first time I failed out, they said, that's all right. Everybody has a bad semester. The second time I failed out, they said, you know what? College ain't for everybody. The third time I failed out, they said, we really wish you quit applying. You're costing the taxpayers too much money. But I serve a God. I found a God. I discovered a God who who is the finisher. My God, I ain't quite even through with what I'm going to be yet, but I'm going to tell you, he can turn your life around. When you become somebody you ain't never been before, you'll start doing things you've never done before. Oh, the last time you see John, he's 90 years old. 60 years since he last seen Jesus working in a coal mine. You know, they put him on Patmos. Patmos is where you go when boiling won't kill you. Patmos is where they send you when poisoning can't kill you. Let me tell you, apostolics, it don't matter what the world put in you, and it don't matter what the world puts you in. If you got God in your life, you're going to keep on living for God. Hallelujah. And he's on the Isle of Patmos working the mines. Can somebody stay with me a moment? He is surrounded by convicts. Ain't no converts on the island anywhere. Ain't no choir singing. Ain't no outreach. Ain't no prison ministry. And no, sir, I'm sorry. He ain't there to start a daughter work. Bless you. The last time we see him, he's working the mines. But the next time you see him, John, where'd John go? He said, and I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He said, and I heard a voice from heaven. I looked around. He said, I tried to see it. He said, and I saw him. His hair were like flames. His feet were like bronze. And he said, man, I next thing you know, he touched me, and I fell down, one that is dead. Man, the last time you see John, he is in the worst situation imaginable. The next time you see him, he's up in the spirit on the Lord's day. And let me just tell you all this. People are kind of uncertain as to where John died. Some say he died in Asia. Some say, I think maybe Judea. You know what they all agree on? He don't die on Patmos. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell somebody in the Holy Ghost, it is not the will of God for you to die in your midnight. It is not the will of God for you to die in your trial. It's not the will of God for you to die in the middle of your test. It's not the will of God for you to die in your tribulation. It's time for somebody to say, this is the day the Lord hath made. It's time for somebody to get on your feet and say, my God knows the plans that he has for me, and they're plans for good and not for evil. It's time for somebody to declare the word of God back to that devil that's trying to tell you you ain't got a future and say, hold on a second. Woo! Come on, musicians, if that's what y'all do. Come on, somebody. Come on, get out of that pew and come on around. Come on, somebody, make a move toward God today. I don't know how y'all do it, but somebody needs to declare, I hath not seen. Y'all ready for this? I hath not seen. Would you say it with me? I haven't seen. Ear hath not heard. Neither hath it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love him. You know what that means? The devil doesn't have a clue about your next blessing from God. And if he can't see it, he can't stop it. Put your hand, put your foot down like this. Your foot is supposed to bruise his head. I'm telling you, he's getting a good old head bruising in this house today. You got the power to put your foot down. Devil, you don't even know what my God has prepared for me, because I hadn't seen and ear hasn't heard the things that God. I remember seeing a man in AA, disheveled, homeless, unkempt. His hair was matted. Too many nights in the cold. Too many days in the sun. Too many cars had passed without providing. And I saw him. He was probably unrecognizable to his parents. Probably unrecognizable. Remember serving him coffee as he sat there with a glazed look in his eye. For some reason, I think it was school maybe, Maybe it was work. I went months without going to that meeting. The next time I was there, I saw this guy and I thought, you know, I know him. I thought it was from Baton Rouge. I thought it, maybe it was somebody I went to high school with. You know how you do that? I just can't place where I know you from. He was the guy that I'd seen 6 months earlier, who was transformed by 6 months of sobriety. I'll never forget Brother Johnson telling a story about this man who was so elated to have this brand new vehicle. The man bought the car and it stalled on the side of the road, and he was so despondent and he didn't know how to fix it, and he just dejected in the middle of nowhere. And this man happens to be driving by in a limousine. The limousine ironically pulls over, and a man gets out in a tuxedo, takes his jacket off, lays it on the seat. The chauffeur is there looking a little bewildered as well. The man in the limousine said, "Sir, is your car not running?" "No, I don't know what happened." He said, "Well, why don't you get in the car, and when I tell you to try to crank it, you go right ahead, turn the ignition." So the man did so, and the gentleman, very stately and affluent, gets under the hood of the car. No problem, rolled up his sleeves, and grease didn't bother him. He said, "Turn the ignition." Guy turned it cranked right up. The man, bewildered, looked at him and said, "Sir, I can't thank you enough." He said, "But I have no idea. Why would you stop to help me?" He said, "Sir, my name happens to be Henry Ford, and I hate to see anything with my name on it stranded on the side of the road. You serve a God today who doesn't want to see your life stalled out and stranded on the side of the road. Somebody help me right now. I feel the power. I feel decision-making power in this house today. Pastor started with it. I feel decision-making power, because there ain't a devil in hell that can stop you. The last time we see a hog pen, he's wallowing about to eat the husk that the swine do eat. But the next time you see him, honey, he's on his way to daddy's house, and he's going to get a robe and a ring and sandals and a fatty calf." Because somebody clap your hands unto the Lord today. The last time that we see Peter, he has denied Jesus Christ. He's saying, "Not only do I not know him, I never knew him." And as only a sailor could, he swears and curses, "I don't know that guy." But you see, God is both the author and the finisher. And after Peter has done all the swearing and all the denying, when Jesus said it's finished on the cross and he appears to the disciples, what does he say? "Go tell Peter also, because God wasn't through with Peter." And the next time you see the denier, he's preaching on the day of Pentecost. And the next time you see the doubter, he's praising on the day of Pentecost. And the next time you see the forsakers, they're praising on the day of Pentecost. Somebody needs to hear a preacher, "Honey, your life ain't over. It's just getting started good." Could you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord our God? In Jesus' name we pray. It's at the Red Sea moments of our lives that God tends to require the most of us, to distinguish us from what we profess to believe and what our actions prove we believe. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Save yourselves from an untoward generation. And allow me to close with this. While God might allow the devil to have a say, God never allows the devil to have the final say. So what do you say today? Would you clap your hands unto the Lord today? Does God have an appointment with you somewhere down the road in a place you've yet to see, a place you've yet to hear of, a place you have even failed to imagine? I want you to close your eyes and raise your hands. At midnight, a most uncertain hour, they sang psalms and praises unto God, and it shook the prison where they were. I don't know what your midnight looks like. I don't know what your midnight feels like. But I can just tell you this. We don't say, I feel like praising him for nothing. Sometimes we have to say, I know my Redeemer lives. And I want you to say that with me all over this house. You don't have to feel your Redeemer lives. Would you say it? I know my Redeemer lives. Job gives us 19 verses covered in boils from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. He doesn't say, I feel my Redeemer lives. He said, oh, that I had a pen of iron that I might write it in stone. I know my Redeemer lives. Anybody in this house knows your Redeemer lives. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Oh, you people. Pastor, with your permission, I'm going to take some liberty. I want somebody to say, devil, you're a liar. I want somebody to say, devil, you're a liar. I want somebody who hadn't gotten out of that pew yet. Come on down here around this floor. Somebody that just, it don't have to be every one of you. Somebody just get out of that pew and come down around this floor. Devil, you're a liar. God knows the plans that he has for me. And they're plans for good and not evil. I had them talking me out. I'll say this, and I hope I'm not getting too personal. I say it to the glory of God. I hope I don't embarrass the ministry at all. But when I decided to go to rehab January the 5th of 87, my roommate found out about it. My roommate, on a Friday evening when I got home from work, had everybody that we partied with in my apartment, there must have been 35 people in the house that day. Every one of them was there to talk me out of going into rehab. You're going to ruin your life. You're going to be an embarrassment in this city. You'll never get a job. Nobody's going to ever hire you. But I'm going to tell you what I discovered. They weren't the author, and they weren't the finisher. God let them have a say, but they didn't have a final say. Because September the 17th, 1989, when I heard the preached word of the Lord, I repented of my sins. I went down in these waters speaking in other tongues, and I came out a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want you to clap your hands to the Lord. He makes all things new. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, I make all things new. And you hear me when I tell you. Oh, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in this house. And behold, the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. I beg your pardon. He never promised us the rose garden. But I've got to tell somebody in this house today, though the clay was marred in the hand of the potter, it wasn't marred by the hand of the potter. God's still the best friend you'll ever have, and he's shaping, and he's molding, and he's finishing, and he's completing, and if he's got to get some impurity, thank God for it. But I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord saying, my God is working a work inside of me. My Lord, it doesn't yet appear, but when we do appear, we're going to be more like him. When we come out of that finery, we're going to be like pure gold. Would you please, if it's appropriate, reach your hand over and begin to pray for your neighbor right now. Just take somebody by the hand or put your hand upon their shoulder. The devil's tried to tell you it's over. Honey, it ain't got started good. There is not a darkness that you could find yourself in that the light of Almighty God can't shine in. We who sat in darkness have seen a great light in the name of Jesus to the glory of Almighty God. There's not a darkness that God can't penetrate. David said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. I want you to start lifting your voices right now. I want you to lift your voices in prayer. You're not going to take it sitting down. I don't want you to take it in silence either. Begin to lift your voice right now. God knows the plans that he has for you, and they're plans for good and not for evil. And eye hath seen, and ear hath not heard, the things that God had prepared for them that love him. My Lord, there's bounty in this house. Somebody needs to get ready in your personal life to start building a bigger barn than you've ever even imagined. Don't shut it down. Don't board it up. It's time for somebody to say, wait a minute, I'm about to be blessed beyond measure. Come on, somebody. Don't leave in denial. Don't leave in doubt. Just get to the upper room. Come on, John. Don't curl up in the fetal position on Patmos. You get to your feet and get in the spirit on the Lord's day. Hallelujah. And you're going to see things you've never done before. And suddenly, I'll say this and I'll stop. Suddenly, John the Beloved, because he went to Patmos, John the Beloved becomes John the Revelator. Honey, can I tell you that upper room experience doesn't prevent you from going to Patmos. It prepares you. There's more strength in you. There's more strength in your pastor and his pastor's wife. There's more strength in this body than the devil wants you to know, honey. Clap your hands to the Lord, all you people. Pentecost Sunday doesn't keep you from Patmos. It prepares you for Patmos. I want you to just lift your head high. You just put your chin in the air. Say, devil, my God is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Hallelujah. Clap your hands one more time. And one more time, you start praying for somebody. Come on, there needs to be a catalyst of prayer sweeping this place right now. There needs to be an electric move of the Holy Ghost. Reach your hand over and pray for your neighbor. Ladies, y'all pray one for another. Pray one for another. Pray one for another right now. God's in this house to prove his love to somebody. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you.